Now, we're reminded in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be equipped for every good work. Now, what key verse in the Bible have you memorized? You're pretty good in the Lord's Prayer. What key verse have you memorized, studied, and has become significant in your life? Now, since stepping away on regular ministry congregational duties, I've come to realize that more and more that congregations, individuals, need handles, grips, to face the rock face of life. We need to hold on to things. Now, at my age, I'm also looking for those big bars in the bathroom and over the sink and what have you. It's true. I'm looking for them. This young man is a young friend of mine, Ben Harnden. And he's become quite noted for climbing rock faces. And his fingers and his wrists and his shoulders and arms are really built up. And I've seen him climb things which I would say are impossible. What scripture have you memorized? What scripture have you studied? What scripture have you written into the with notes at the back of your Bible? Yes, you can write in the Bible. You can underline things. You can make notes. And then you can get it rebound and keep right on going. John 3:16. You see that sign at football games on television? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Is that a cornerstone for you? Is that something important to you? Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Is that what you would go to? Do you know that? Have you studied it? Now, at wedding ceremonies, I say, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no wrongs, record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We do that at weddings. Do you know what this passage is about? Congregational life. We cheat and bring it into weddings. It's important for weddings. It's important for relationships. Now, I think all the grandparents and great uncles and aunts love this one. When you look at your children or your nieces and nephew, and you look at your grandnephews and nieces or your grandchildren, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And they also take them home. This is an incredible passage to know that this is Christ's promise, that we would have life abundant. And I am so blessed at my age of 68, looking back and looking ahead and seeing life abundantly in the past, around me, and looking forward to the future with abundance. Now, my decision to be ordained rests with this passage. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I have become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I've become United Church to save United Church. I have become charismatic to save charismatic. I'm with the Baptists to save the Baptists. I was a wrestling coach at KSS. I was with Young Life with a crazy guy named Bill Heppner going to Mexico. I have become all things to all people so that I might save some. Now, it's not I that saves. It is the Holy Spirit that saves. I just show up. Now, this is my wife's favorite passage. And I'm sure all musicians love this one. It's from Zephaniah. The Lord our God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that an incredible image? This powerful God, this creator, this mighty warrior, this mighty fortress delights in singing over you. Then there's this passage. My wife says, too long to put up. But I think it's an important passage. I do this at memorial services. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You who believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is the important part. You know the way to the place I'm going? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And the big answer. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is with punctuation and it is with love that I read that passage at every memorial, funeral, graveside that I do. Whether they're Christians there, non-Christians, atheists, Buddhists, whatever, I don't worry about it. This is the word of truth. And it must be said. Because at that point in time, when someone comes to a funeral, someone comes to a memorial, someone comes to a graveside, it's not for the person who passed away. Yes, they're showing respect to the family and friends, but they arrive because they want to check in. So what verse are you checking in with? What scripture are you checking in with? When I'm in need of help, when I'm in need of hearing from God, I take the time to search out the scriptures for a couple of things. Has it historical meaning to me? Has it spoken to me in the past? Have I come to trust it? Has it been infilling? Has there been a glow about it? And does it reveal things that will be different? And does it reveal that we are not alone? Now, I find that whenever I'm particularly lost and confused, yes, ministers get confused, I turn to Psalm 23. You know this psalm. It was probably one of the first things you memorized in Sunday school and got a sticker for, right? I'm not putting it up on the screen. We are going to recite it from memory. With one voice, let us say, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Psalm 23 has been drawing people to God for thousands of years. Psalm 23 has been speaking to each individual in this room since Sunday school. And for some of us, it's been quite a while. Psalm 23 speaks about a God that we can trust. Psalm 23 gives us an infilling. It has a glow about it. It brings a recognition that things can be different. And especially, it tells us that we are not alone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, this is the creator of the universe. If you were to look at the Old Testament, how many times shepherd is mentioned, you have to recognize that it was prophesied that God would take on the role of the good shepherd because the regular shepherds, the leaders of the religious establishment, were screwing up. That's what the prophecies talk about, where God wasn't going to intervene. But hear this from Paul. Recognizing that he was trained in the law of Moses, in the wisdom literature, in the book of Psalms, and he goes on to say this in Romans 5:1. Therefore, by believing in Jesus Christ by faith, we have peace in him, through him, and by him. He's the shepherd. By believing in Jesus Christ by faith, we have peace in him, through him, and by him. He is the good shepherd. And Jesus says, if you take a look at Matthew and Luke, he says, I am your shepherd, and you shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Most interesting research. I discovered that sheep will not digest their food, which is in their stomach, unless they're lying down. And there cannot be any moving water. It brings on fear, apprehension. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The good shepherd brings us to that point in our relationship with him, where we can be at total rest, and that we can trust him totally. For a sheep to lay down, it must be in complete and absolute trust. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Only God can restore our souls, our spiritual centers. How many of you watch those home renovation shows? Be honest. All right. You ladies have something, a special thing that you tell the world what you like on the computer? What's it called? Pinterest? Okay. How many, show of hands, ladies, Pinterest? Guys, do you even know what it is? Oh, you get to see what it is when you're being told what you're going to make. All right? Well, the Lord is willing and able to refurbish our hearts and our soul. Even when we screw up. Could one of the favorite passages in the Bible be the prodigal son? Take some time over Lent and digest that passage in Luke. And recognize all the things that unfold there. How God the Father is symbolized by the Father there. It's another sermon. The Good Shepherd looks upon us as if nothing we have ever done is going to be wrong forever, and that we can be restored and made whole through him. That's Christ's promise. No matter where we travel, the Lord is there to guide us. Life no longer needs to be a maze of disasters and hidden fears and worries. If we desire the Good Shepherd to guide us, he will. He will lead us as we turn the corners in our lives. He will lead us when we have to cross the street for the next great adventure. I can't quite say coming here was the next great adventure, but I love you. And there's some old friends here that I'm kind of rubbing shoulders with again and making new friends. It has been an adventure. In a recognition of something which I want you to hear. You are a family. You're more than a congregation. Yes, you've got intermarriage going on between families, but you are a family. In looking at and administering to and supporting and being involved with over 50 churches in this city, you are unique. You are special, you are loved, and please carry that. Jesus can restore our souls and lead us on the path of righteousness for his purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm sure you've heard that sheep are virtually helpless animals. They cannot fight even against the smallest of predators. A good shepherd teaches the sheep to rely on them. The shepherd doesn't want the sheep to take on predators, but instead to develop courage to trust the shepherd. God desires you to trust in him to fight your battles. He doesn't want you to go into battle alone. He doesn't want you to trust others but himself. It makes no difference what the battle is. The Lord promises to always be there. Remember that passage at the end of Matthew? Another verse, another line in the Bible that you might want to work on and think about. Surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. And then there's that episode in John where the disciples are on the boat and the storm's rising and it's scary and they're at the bottom of the boat and Jesus says, it's I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid. These are the words he's telling his disciples that he is with them and they should have no fear. And you've seen that advertising, I guess, for about 10 or 15 years now. No fear, no fear, no fear. Well, I watched my first X game on television yesterday, which the younger people might know about. These are these crazy skiers and snowboarders, and I kind of recognize the snowboarding going on railings, but I've never seen somebody on skis sliding down a railing and then doing flips and turns and everything else. I understand why I call it the X game. That's where the body was buried. Have no fear. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should not fear, for Jesus is with us, and his rod and his staff are there to comfort us. Now you preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Another revolutionary aha moment studying with a professor called Kenneth Bailey, who's recognized as the most up-to-date, culturally aware person of the Middle East in the biblical times. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. A man, a male shepherd, a king, a knight, whoever it is, a man would never prepare a meal. They would arrange for the supplies. This says that God, that all-powerful creator of the universe, is taking on the role of a woman. The other thing in my research, that if you look at the Psalms, the predominant image in the Psalms is of a strong God, a fortress, a hill, a sanctuary. Those aren't the words of Jesus in the New Testament. He talks about a good father, a good shepherd, a good woman. Those are the images that Jesus is drawing us to. And his promise is that the table will be full. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jam-packed, complete, busting at the seams. And that joy will always be full because God himself has prepared the table. The promise is that the good shepherd watches over his flock always, and no enemy can stand up to us when the Lord is with us, because the power of the Holy Spirit is with us. If you look at this psalm and bring it to Jesus and bring it into his teachings into the New Testament, this is why I say, what verse have you memorized? Better still, what verse have you studied? What have you written in the back of those blank pages in your Bible? Do you have certain verses that you want to go back and check out and read? Do it. The shepherd anoints your head with oil and pours your cups to overflowing. You have been anointed with, by, and for the Lord. Jesus promised us the coming of the Holy Spirit so to help us walk with him. Your life is set to be full to the overflowing. You are to walk in harmony with the Lord. Now it concludes, with surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We truly live in a hostile land, just like sheep. But the good shepherd provides for us along the way and provides for us for eternity. As the Lord's sheep, we will have favor with God, and mercy will always follow us. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever means eternity. Everything that happens in our daily life is based on time. God lives outside of time. God says that if we trust in him, come into him, we will dwell in his house forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, this doesn't mean that nothing can ever come against us. It doesn't say that. It says that we can trust God and we can live with less fear. We can trust God and live a stronger life now. If you learn to trust and walk with Jesus. Wellness, even in the place of disease, can be seen. If you trust God and follow God and walk with God, you can even find joy in the midst of sadness. Now, my invitation is for you to take time over Lent. This was my premise sermon to lead into Lent. To take some scriptures, your favorite passages. Take 40 days and read them and study them. And I'm going to invite you to a very interesting way of what to do with those scriptures. Do you want to hear Jesus' love for you? Find the passage or the little insert that I put into the bulletin. I'm sorry, worship team. Where it says, Psalm 23, I am your shepherd. If you can find that and share it with those around you. If you want to know how much Jesus loves you, I want you to read this together with me, understanding this is Jesus' perspective. If you tie in Psalm 23 and all his talking in Matthew and Luke about the Good Shepherd, hear these words that are going to come out of your mouth. Let us read together, I am your shepherd. I am your shepherd. You shall not be in want, for I will make you to lie down in green pastures. I will lead you beside still waters. I will restore your soul. I will lead you on the paths of righteousness for my purposes. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will not fear any evil. For I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in my house forever. So what verse are you going to memorize and study? What are you going to write in the back of your Bible on those blank pages? Take time in times of joy to do this, and especially in times of struggle, in times of difficulty. Go find your favorite passage. Find that quiet place. And not just read it, but consume it. Gnaw on it as a lion goes for the marrow. Chew on it, for you will.